It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a marvelous time of worship it is. So good to be with you, and I want to thank all of you for praying for Bible Home Church, for uplifting us through your love gifts and offerings, but most of all, for your prayers. You see, I believe prayers are more important than money. Oh, I know we've got finances that we have to deal with, and I believe God's Holy Spirit will put it on your heart to give to this ministry financially, but more than anything, we need your prayers, and we appreciate it when you pray for us. And you know, I'd like you just to let us know that you're praying. I just can't tell you how much it means to me to get a letter from a saint saying, Brother Tex, I prayed for you and Sister Wanda. I just ask you to do that. It encourages me more than you'll ever know. Well, we're going to have part three today of, I think, a very, very vital topic that really touched my heart, entitled The Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out. First, we're going to have some beautiful music here. This is the Blackwood Brothers and the old standard, He Touched Me. And then you'll hear part three of my message, The Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out. Now, after the message, if there's time, I'll come back on with some concluding remarks. So, without further ado, here is the Blackwood Brothers, He Touched Me.
And made me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me.
He touched me.
He touched me.
Christian churches across America are now being examined by the IRS. And when it is determined that they are politically incorrect, that is, we do not meet the religious requirements of the government in all ways, Then the hellraisers come forth to seek to make trouble. And that's just the way it is. You know, it's even been proven. Judicial Watch organization, made up of very, very fine Christian lawyers, have even filed suit in federal government now to try to attempt to stop the IRS and the White House from persecuting conservative organizations and Christian churches. But so far, nothing has been done because we have a cowardly Congress that allows the IRS to do this. All I can assume is that the Congress wants this to occur. Our Congress today evidently wants Christian churches to be persecuted. So we'll all fall in line. The problem is, true Christians will not fall in line. And thus we lead again to the crying out of the martyrs. Yes, my friends, across the world today, there are people suffering for their faith. And yet, you know, I was recently reading that in the New Testament, or in the Bible alone, I should say, both Old and New Testament, that the words "do not fear" or "have no fear" are mentioned 366 times. Evidently, God wanted to get a message to us, didn't he? Have no fear. Have no fear. No fear. Because God considers us his beloved. You know, we're told in the Bible not only to take care of the poor and the needy, but to rescue the perishing. There are some, of course, who are perishing because they believe not in the truth of Jesus, and there are others who are perishing from a physical standpoint, but who will live forever. Well, let's talk some more about what the Bible says. You know, Acts 5, verse 41 and 42 says that the early church rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Here's a story of Sister Wong over in China. It says Sister Wong and her mother had been under police surveillance for quite some time, but they continued their Christian ministry. Police confiscated more than 300 pounds of Christian tracts, posters, books, and Bibles. The two women were fined, and Sister Wong was placed in a holding cell for 6 days. Her mother was held in a prison cell for 3 days. During the questioning, the Public Security Bureau superintendent became angry and began to kick and slap Sister Wong. Then he received an urgent telephone call. His mother had been hit by a car, and he had to leave immediately to tend to her. When she asked what he had been doing, his mother that is, he told her he had been interrogating members of a Christian group. The man's mother told him that she herself had been a Christian as a young person, but left to join the Communist Party. She said that what he was doing to Christians, she believed, had caused her accident, and she begged her son to stop. He refused, calling her superstitious. The following day, however, as he questioned Sister Wong, another call. This time his brother had been injured in a firecracker accident. The brother immediately blamed him, saying that his attacks on Christians had brought these accidents on their family. Later, the superintendent's sister became ill. When her legs were completely paralyzed, the superintendent was distraught, and he began to question his treatment of Christians. Finally, he went and apologized to Sister Wong for what he had done to her. He requested that she come to his home to pray for his sister. Since that time, the sister has been healed, the superintendent has had a change of heart, and has returned all of Sister Wong's money and literature. This is from the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, December 1999, page 5. You know, we never know what impact we will have. We also, friends, never know what God is doing. What God is doing. You know, the blood of the saints is very precious in God's eyes. And, you know, we're his children. Now, imagine if someone were harming your children. Would you get angry? Would you get upset? If you had the power to stop them, would you do it? Well, God has all the power in the world. You say, why does he allow these things to happen? Well, that would take a whole nother sermon about why God allows good in the world to be opposed by evil. But I want you to understand, my friends, that God has created a world in which we can overcome evil with good. But we've got to be straight-sighted. We've got to look at things, as Jesus said, with one eye, with a single eye. He didn't mean put a blindfold over one of your eyes or cover it up with a hand. What he meant was we've got to be single-minded, and we've got to understand and know what the world is really all about. A lot of people say, is it going to be the worst time in history soon? I believe that's true. But I was recently reading from the book The Words and Works of Jesus Christ by J. Dwight Pentecost. This is on pages 536 and 537 of Brother Pentecost's book. Listen to how things were during the days of Jesus in the world. Listen to this. The world was in a state of extraordinary moral degeneration. 2,000 lords in Rome possessed 1,300,000 slaves. These slaves were treated with great cruelty. In the Roman Empire overall, there were 6 million slaves. The rich lived in the utmost profligacy. Chastity and marriage were the exception. Divorce and immorality were the rule. The priests of the varied religions preyed upon the masses of the ignorant. Many seductive cults exerted a degrading influence. The religion of the Romans had no power to cope with the degeneracy of the times. The philosophies of the Greeks had failed. None of the philosophies could meet the deep moral needs of the times. The emperors, the leaders of government themselves, were monsters of crime. Thousands of lives were sacrificed in the arena to furnish entertainment for the emperor and a bloodthirsty population. Luxury was beyond description for the rich and the powerful. The horrible character of vice and crime is witnessed to by the excavated objects in the city of Pompeii. Seneca testified that children were considered with great disfavor and infant exposure was prevalent. Tacitus said that the spirit of the times was, quote, to corrupt and to be corrupted. Paul gives a picture in the Romans epistle of a people who had departed from God, setting up their own religious systems through vain independence, gods like unto creatures. From this idol worship they had gone on into moral degeneracy and crime until they were lost in a world of darkness and destruction. This was the condition of the world when Jesus came, who was to overcome the world with his gospel. You know, think about today. Do we have priests preying upon the masses of the ignorant? Oh, yes. We have New Age teachers. We have cults by the dozens, false religions. Do we have degeneracy? Oh, my goodness, just turn on your TV sets. Every channel will be worse than the one before, it seems. Incredible moral corruption. How about our government leaders? Were they or are they like the emperors of Rome, monsters of crime? You better believe it. And they don't even try to hide their rapes, their murders. And they laugh at people. They laugh at Christians who attempt to unmask their evils. And then they get retribution. The media cover up for them. Are thousands of lives being sacrificed to furnish entertainment for the emperor and a bloodthirsty population? Oh, yes, we've seen all of it on TV. Don't you remember those smart bombs and missiles in Iraq? Don't you remember the pictures of those aircraft bombing railroad trains in Yugoslavia? Don't you remember masses of people, even skyscrapers, being bombed and strafed by American jets in Yugoslavia? The massacre and murder of thousands of Europeans by Americans? And our arrogant president bragging about the damage that was done? Oh, yes. The Romans had their circuses But now we have our circuses and their own TV, and it's called The Killing of Foreign Nations by U.S. Military Forces, overseen, of course, by the United Nations. Pentecost says in the days of the Romans, the horrible character of vice and crime is everywhere. Is that not true today? Our prisons are bursting at the seams with people who have been thrown in there for robbery and theft and rape and drug crimes. The spirit of the times back then was to corrupt and be corrupted. Well, what is it today but to corrupt and be corrupted? And because they worship not the true God, they went into moral degeneracy, and that's what we've got today. And that is exactly why the world hates you. Because you've been taken out of the world by God. You are not a moral degenerate. Paul said, we were those things, but we're not anymore. And when you have the light, my friends, you'll be hated by the world. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in wolves, but be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He's sending us forth as sheeps in a world of wolves. And he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Friends, you know, we don't have much of a duty. Just obey God and spread His word and let the chips fall where they might. Well, it's been a great time talking with you today about the blood of the martyrs crying out. Yes, we have martyrs today. We need new books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. Maybe I'll do one myself called Mars's Book of Martyrs. I don't know. But we need to highlight the great heroes of the faith. Are you a hero of the faith? Do you want to be? Well, friends, that was part three of the blood of the martyrs cries out. You know, I want to make a few concluding remarks here because this is such a very, very important matter. This is one of the emphases of Bible Home Church. When you give your love gifts to Bible Home Church, I want you to know, we are going to be very active in going against those who persecute Christians around the world. We're going to stand for truth wherever Christians are persecuted. We want Christians in China, in Cuba, in the Sudan, in Africa, in Muslim countries who are being vilely tormented, persecuted, brutalized, killed. We want them to know we stand with them. And that's why I need your help to carry out this mission. A part of every dollar you give this ministry is going to go that we can preach the gospel to those around the world. And we can, in one way or another, promote the home church movement around the world. You see, I believe that the defiance of God is almost universal today. And even in nations that seem to be oases of peace and tranquility, you're going to find Christians being spat upon by the authorities and dealt with in a very evil way. You know, Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, many people have tormented Christians over the years, and they've said, where is your God? Let Him show up. Let Him come and rescue you now. Oh, these tormentors are tempting God to strike them dead. And He will. He will take care of them in due time. You see, our lives, the Bible says, are like vapors. It's as if we were grass, it withers and dies. But there is a judgment for all men. Those who do not see the judgment for their evil work in this present life too often are set to do evil because they say, who will punish me for so doing? But the Bible says the Lord delays his coming to give such men, yes, even them, even they who torment Christians, a chance to repent. But they say, no evil shall strike me. Nothing of harm shall come to me. But I want them to know, perhaps some of these people that hate Christians, despise Christians, and are persecuting them are listening to my voice today. Listen very close, you tormentor, you destroyer of the flesh of Christians. The mercy and forbearance of God has limits. Yes, it has limits. You say, well, I thought God's mercy and love is limitless. It is in this sense that he opens up his arms to you, but if you refuse him and you continue to do hurt to his children, you will pay. The Bible says very carefully and very meticulously about this. It says, God shall have vengeance. Yes, our God is delaying his coming. But those who say, the Lord delays his coming, we can do whatever we want, you're making a big mistake. The Bible says, when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. You cannot evade God. You can't turn to the potter and say, well, I was evil, but you made me thus. You made me that way. You have a choice to choose to do good or evil. You know, friends around the world send me accounts of Christians that are suffering. Some of these are so terrible that I fear to read them on over the air. They're so bad because they hurt me too much. For example, a lady that suffered over in Romania during the communist days, there's her story. She and her Pentecostal pastor and a Christian doctor were all sentenced to 9 and 3 years respectively in prison. They were tortured for their faith. When this woman, Cinciana Moisescu, appeared before court as witness in the trial of other Christians, she greeted those in the dock. There they were, prisoners, receiving a trial that was a mockery of justice, of course. But when she was brought into the courtroom, she smiled at them and she said, rejoice that you suffer for Christ. Imagine her saying that to the other prisoners. The judge, it was said, threatened her with arrest. He said, if you say such things in this courtroom, you'll be given a stiff sentence. She answered with a smile on her face, quote, for the cause of Christ, no price is too high. She was sent to a prison cell. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Here is an irony for the world. When a Christian is persecuted for their faith, they don't say God is cruel. They don't blaspheme God. No, you cannot get the Jobs of this world to do such things. They say, I praise God nevertheless. I am content wherever I'm at. You know, many people talk about the Apostle Paul and the wonders that he showed us, the behavior that he had. He was stuck in a prison cell. Can you imagine how bad prison life was back then? Oh, you know, here was a man who was obviously a man of great intellect, learning, and probably of some wealth before he became a Christian and gave it all up for the Lord. What did he ask for when he wrote a letter out of prison? He says, would you simply bring me a cloak? I'm cold. And some of my books. That's all he wanted. Some books to read and a cloak to keep him warm. Can you imagine how cold and dank and dark that prison cell was? They say prisoners complain today because they don't have television or can't use the phone enough or whatever. I don't know in prisons. I'm not saying prison life is toasty and nice and wonderful, but they do have heat and air conditioned and good food and so forth. Can you imagine the horrible pot of porridge that the Apostle Paul was forced to eat? in that prison cell. And the same thing has awaited Christians throughout the centuries. Cuba today, there are thousands. I was reading the story of a man named Tom White. Here's a man who led a massive gospel invasion of Cuba. Did you know he used to fly over to Cuba from Florida and he would drop Christian literature out of the sky of his airplane, from his airplane? Well, in 1979, his airplane crashed on a Cuban highway. What followed was brutal treatment, solitary confinement, and a 24-year sentence simply because he dropped Christian literature out of the sky, and I'm sure many souls were saved. Well, after 17 months, Tom was miraculously released, and they say today he continues to speak to churches telling him about the miracle. I was reading in Sudan and Africa, where the Muslims rule many regions, that 500 of the Dinka tribe, in which there are many Christians, were recently doused with gasoline and set afire by Arabic Muslims. In an earlier incident, it said the Muslims severed the hands of slain Dinkas and kept the hands as a souvenir. They beat their drums with these petrified hands of their victims. Oh, atrocities abound against Christians throughout the world. Well, again, all these things have been prophesied. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Friends, the main thing is for us not to become fearful. "In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Psalm 56, verse 11. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And finally, I want to close with this marvelous verse from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Fear not he who can kill the body, said Jesus. Fear only he who can kill the body and the soul. Only God can do that. And he loves us. He has mercy upon us. Is our protector. Well, this is Tex Mars, and I thank you for listening to Bible Home Church. Tune in each week during this same time for Bible Home Church. May God richly bless you until next week.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.